We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes, no.
No?
Sir, it was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not right now.
No, it's not fun anymore, not even a little bit.
Just look at that, he hit the ball. Guy gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a blast. Thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the sports movie podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bandujo, and today we've got a fun midweek episode talking about the legacy of the MVP baseball franchise, arguably the most important baseball video game franchise of all time, especially for folks of a certain age like myself. Before we get into it, want to shout out the Big Screen Sports Patreon group, especially our producer-level Big Chill patrons. That is Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, Kevin Frost, Mike D, Ryan Yeager, Mike Dreesh, James Koluski, Chris Mikoski, Andrew Teagle, John Craig, Sam Smith, Zach Rich, and of course Classic Stadium Fire, the sponsor to all of our patrons' movie episodes. Big thanks to them and our entire Big Screen Sports Patreon group for supporting the show. I want to dive right into this one. Tommy Strafacci, he runs the Random MLB Stars Instagram account. In a lot of those posts, he uses clips from the MVP baseball franchises. As folks remember, MVP baseball was the offshoot of the Triple Play baseball franchise. Started in 2003, we got three MLB games and then two NCAA games. They were perfect in so many ways. They were groundbreaking in so many ways. Extremely important. So sports video games, they're sports movies adjacent, so decided it'd be a great thing to cover, especially midweek. Let's dive right in. All right, joining me tonight on Big Screen Sports, this is an episode I've been looking forward to for a while. Guy whose Instagram account I couldn't be a bigger fan of. Tommy Strafacci, aka Random MLB Stars on Instagram. What is up, my man?
What is up, man? I'm happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this. It's exciting.
I am beyond pumped about what we're going to talk about. Before we get into it, tell the folks, what is Random MLB Stars? How did you come into this account? In fact, I know a couple of our listeners are also big fans of this account because we'll like share posts and stuff like that. So dive in. What is Random MLB Stars?
Yeah, so Random MLB Stars, it was like how many of us. I was the middle of the pandemic, locked in, had nothing to do. And my buddy, it's a conversation that my buddy and I've had for years that just turned into, I think there's got to be other people out here who want to talk about this. So basically it started as every day I do a post on a different player from like the early 2000s, like when we were all growing up. And I would do like, it's every team they played on and then a highlight video. And it started as that. And now it started to grow in, and it just started to grow into like videos about modern day baseball with like the lesser known stars, like the David Bedners, the Brandon Drurys, the guys that aren't in your face all the time on MLB Network and stuff. And then it's videos on just everything from early 2000s. We're talking like 04 Red Sox, 05 White Sox. We're getting into it. And then like we're going to talk about today, the most important thing, when I MVP 05, I used to clock between MVP 04 and MVP 05, probably half my childhood got clocked into that game. And I guess deep down I knew there was something. I was like, I'm retaining this information for something down the line. And this is what it's become, I guess.
It was such a special period, and it fits those posts you're doing because a lot of those guys were in those games. Like, you posted one the other day of Ken Harvey, and it just, like threw me out of my chair, man. I was like, holy shit, it's Ken Harvey.
2005 AL All-Star, Ken Harvey. There's sometimes where, because it really is, I was on another podcast, and they were asking me, like, how do you even come up with the players every day? Because everybody, I get a lot of DMs, and everybody thinks I have, like, this running list of, like, oh, this is this person this day, and it really isn't strategic. It's just, I wake up one day, and I'll be like cooking breakfast and I'll be sitting there and I'll be like, Ken Harvey was kind of a beast in 2005. Just
like, yeah, man. Remember Joe Creedy? Like, man,
exactly that. The whole, and you know, I made a video about this when the account was a year old. The whole reason the account started was it was one night. It was like literally 2 a.m. and I texted my buddy and I was like, have you ever looked into Hank Blaylock's 2005? Because it's honestly absurd.
Dude, I love sending a text that is like, have you ever looked at so-and-so's baseball reference page? It's crazy.
No, it really is. I was just like, you know, if Hank Blaylock doesn't get hurt and they have him at Teixeira for like another two, three years, do the Rangers win a World Series? And then that turns into a whole conversation. And like nobody, in our minds, nobody cared. And then it was just like, somebody out there has to pay attention to this. Someone has to care.
It's literally that tweet that's like, dudes will just sit around and name random athletes all night. Like, it's that tweet personified.
I can't even put a number on how many people tagged me in that. I got it DM'd. Like, every time it pops up on Twitter, I get every notification from it. They're just like, this is you. And I'm like, yeah, no, this has probably become my entire persona. Like, this is me personified as that tweet.
100%. Tell the folks about your podcast. What do you guys talk about on the show? Where can they find it? All that stuff.
Yeah, A Random MLB Podcast. It's on every platform. Same thing. We talk about past baseball, but we focus in on like what's going on in baseball today. We try and focus in on a lot of those players that don't get highlighted a lot. And then we interview a lot of, because of the account, I've gotten the opportunity to talk to a lot of former players. We've talked to Mike Cameron, Dontrell Willis. There's a lot of guys that we got coming up that are super exciting, and we get to really like dive into just kind of we always talk about it. So we did a whole long episode on, and I think you and I talked about this too, of like we did this whole long episode a while back on like even like the steroid era, and it's become this period in baseball that a lot of like normal baseball media is like kind of thrown to the side because of it's kind of this black mark. And we're sitting here like, I'm 26. Like, that's when I fell in love with baseball. That's like what I love about baseball. That's like what is exciting to me. And I'm like, there's other people. We're really like zeroing in on like, let's stop pretending that this was this terrible era when maybe there's faults to it. But also it's a period where a lot of people really fell in love with the sport, and you can't just throw that to the side. There's flaws with every era. You got to like embrace it. Cause how many of us, I mean, feel like everybody in our age range is like that's I remember where I was when Barry Bonds broke the home run record. I and that's why my big point with all that is, it's like, I don't care about steroids, not steroids, whatever it is. That was like a fundamental childhood memory for me, and it's like, you can't just tell me that's gone. So it's like, we're trying to bring back love to that, and just have fun with it. Nothing too serious, never get too heavy, just keeping it fun, light, and talk about baseball.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think for a larger like macro conversation around it, like that's why there's so much, especially people from our generation, I mean, like, put steroid era guys in the Hall of Fame, or put because of like what they did for the sport. Like, it's always the thing of Sosa and McGuire saved baseball, and then we kicked them to the side. You know,
we did
after we were done with them. And like those guys, like I had in my bedroom wall, like I had a McGuire poster. I have a Sammy Sosa poster still over there. Like I love these guys. Even though, like, Sammy apparently a huge dickhead, but like, I can get over that. Like,
Probably all were. And you know what the thing is? Like, I think that's just everybody. Like, they probably all were, but I'm out here. Like, I have the same thing. There's this poster I want to get so badly, where it's just this huge one. And I remember from when I was a kid of Barry Bonds, I think it was Sports Illustrated. It goes, I'm Barry Bonds and you're not. And it's like, because that's the thing, exactly what you're saying of Sammy Sosa is the perfect example of, he was the face of baseball. I went to a Cubs game when I was a kid, and I remember, like, people think like there's stars now, but like, it really felt different. Like, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire, it felt bigger. And I think baseball was also, and that's probably a bigger conversation, is that baseball was more popular, it felt back then. It was more, ESPN covered it a lot more, and it was more in the sports kind of conversation. So Sammy Sosa
Tonight was a thing. Like that it was a nightly show.
Exactly. And it's just like Sammy Sosa was huge. And now they won't even let him back at Wrigley Field. And it's crazy. If you had told that child version of myself, like, oh no, when you're an adult, Sammy Sosa will never come back. They'll never bring Sammy Sosa back to Chicago. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are never going to the Hall of Fame. Neither will Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire is going to be like a hitting coach that's kind of disgraced. And it's like, it's this weird trip of watching these guys that were like these idols. And now they've become like, do not talk about them. It's a weird thing. It's a really weird dynamic.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing the Lord's work, bringing those names back. And I mean, it kind of fits into what we're going to talk about tonight. So tonight we're going to do a deep dive into the MVP baseball franchise. And MVP baseball, just like those guys in that era, the late 90s, early 2000s guy, is such an interesting time capsule. And it's so fondly looked back on by people like around our age and stuff like that. I'm a little bit older than you, but like my whole generation, like, and I it is partly because it burned out so fast. We got 3 MLB games, 2 college games. It is literally just a time capsule. Whereas we've had the show, I think the first show was like 05, 06. And we've had it for almost 20 years now. We've seen all these iterations and stuff. It's been mainly the only game because like 2K was trash and everyone knows that. So no one played 2K. So it's this interesting thing, but it was also MVP was such a game changer in terms of baseball video games and really taking a step up and I guess taking us into like the modern, like the PS2, the Xbox age. You kind of said why you use MVP baseball in your put, a lot of these guys being in that era. What was baseball gaming like for you before MVP baseball? Cause you are a little bit younger than me. So like MVP 04, I think I got when I was like 13. So I was like prime time. So what was baseball gaming for you beforehand?
So MVP 04 was also same with me. I didn't play MVP 03. And MVP 04 is, I always say this when I always get a comment on like a TikTok or an Instagram video I make about it. And they'll be like, oh, MVP 04 was better. I'm like, whoa. Like MVP 04 was the first, I think, video game I really like loved. I remember I bought it at a Staples as I was a kid. Like I had like whatever allowance money I had. And it was like when Staples still sold computer games, which was also a thing. And I remember playing it and I clocked just hours and hours into it because it was like that first, and I had like an N64 as a kid, and I had older brothers who had like Ken Griffey Jr. baseball, and even that doesn't hold up as well as these games do because it didn't, it still felt very arcadey, it still felt very jumbled. The graphics are what they are, but like some N64 games will hold up, but sports really don't do it well. And you're going to have the same conversation with Madden, where these 2003 to 2007, like you said, it's right where it started. Like graphics took, like even now, and I don't know what your game on PS5 now or PS4.
I'm still PS4. I have not jumped into the PS5.
So I got the Xbox One the Xbox Series X when it came out, and I was on a PS4 beforehand. And my buddy and I, the first thing we talked about was the jump from PS4 to Xbox Series X. It's really like marginal. Like you can see it, but like it's quicker and it's smoother. But like if you told someone who didn't play video games, they'd be like, this is the same thing. Whereas the jump from N64, PS1 to PS2 was like it was an entirely,
it was like climbing
different
Everest.
It was. I remember the first time like when we got the PS2 and I was like, wait, what? This is like, they can do this? This is like, I can see it. And like back then you think the graphics were amazing, and in reality they weren't, but it was just such a different ball game, and no pun intended. So MVP 04 was the first game I played, and it was just that thing of like when you're a kid and this was just like an unlocked whole world, and I played that nonstop. And MVP 05 came out and you played that nonstop, and it was just, it's still to this day, and I always say it's the greatest baseball game of all time. And sometimes you'll get a couple of Gen X, Gen Z, the people younger than me. They'll always be like, MLB The Show 22 is so much better. I'm like, of course it is, but for the time,
it is very important.
Yeah, very important. And I feel like I'm 95 when I say that, but it really cannot be emphasized enough. Of like for the time, it was such a leap. That it was an entirely different, there's nothing that I even think MLB The Show could do that would be that type of leap, because it was just so different from what you were used to that, and also I think your attention span or attention spans were different because it wasn't like 70 features. You weren't playing online. You were really just playing franchise mode back and back and back. It was just
that's
over and over.
That's
what
I loved about it. That's what, because like my memories of MVP baseball are like being up in my room at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've been playing for like 5 hours. I'm on, you know, year seven of a franchise, or I'm at a travel baseball tournament and we're all playing a tournament and we're like, you know, we're trading off controllers and stuff like that. It's much more intimate experience, I guess. And you're doing one more thing. And like for me, gaming before that, or like baseball games, was on the 64, the All-Star Baseball 2000, All-Star Baseball 2001, which only a couple years before MVP Baseball, but because of that, those generation of systems feel a mile apart. And then also Backyard Baseball, which actually still holds up. The Backyard Sports game
still holds up. I'm with you on that. Still holds up
100%. I've an 8-year-old, I've introduced him to Backyard Baseball, Backyard Football, which has been just, let me tell you folks, the best. But but with MVP 04, it was, I mean, you go, like, you look at the Wikipedia and we'll talk about some of the stuff that was new, was different in those games, like that they introduced, and it's all stuff that you see the genesis of, like, in MLB The Show. Like, you've seen, you know, like, they took stuff that EA Sports and this team did with the MVP baseball games, and that changed how you have to run baseball games. Like, the pitch and the throw, the pitch meter and the throw meter, like, that was MVP baseball. The hot and cold zones, that was MVP baseball. And, like, that stuff that's in MLB The Show 22 and is, like, pretty much a standard. You have to have that.
And, you know, I even think Ultimate Team has become pretty much where all sports gaming has gone. And I'm not the biggest Ultimate Team guy, but I think you see, to your point, you see a lot of that from things like MVP Baseball, where it was, they had season mode in, like you were saying, All-Star Baseball and Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball and all of these things. But it was like, for me, I played baseball growing up. I was not going pro. That was never. It was.
Oh yeah, same.
I'm not going to sit here and be
going
like,
pro
and
something other than sports, baby.
Yeah, exactly. That was never going to happen. But I've always been this type of guy that I always loved. Honestly, my favorite periods were always the trade deadline, the transactions, the building a team. And that was like the first time dynasty mode, and I think they called it owner mode back then, was really introduced, where you could play triple A games, you could play double A games, you could develop guys.
They had single A games in MVP 2005, which was crazy. You could play a game with like the Fort Myers Miracle in MVP 2005.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I remember, and that's the funny, and if you follow Random MLB Stars, you'll see it sometimes in my captions, where it felt like, to your point of, it was such an intimate experience of playing it, that I still remember, like, I had won the batting title with Tyke Redmond. I was just talking to my buddy the other day, and we were talking about, there was this guy who pitched in the Phillies minor league system named Eric Judge, not Aaron Judge, Eric, and Eric Judge, and I remember I threw a no-hitter with him in AAA. The next night I played with him in the major leagues, and I threw another no-hitter. And for like a 9-year-old, that was the pinnacle of happiness. I was like, this is the greatest moment of my life. And now it's like, oh, I still remember. It's weird how you still, it was because it was that so new to you. I still remember it now. And it's the genesis of what the whole account was, but it's also just, it's an experience that I don't think you get with a lot of video games now. And it's just a matter of like growing up and just the way games have evolved.
Yeah. And the way they presented it too was so different. I mean, getting Krook and Kipe to be the broadcasters is still what an accomplishment. Like, no notes there.
Exactly. Like, do you know, I always say, I don't get MLB The Show. That would be, it's such an easy slam dunk to bring. And now that they, I always thought, all right, they have Matt Vasgersian was their guy. They're not going to. Mm-hmm. And then they went and got brought in Brooks Schiavone. And I'm not against him and Chris Singleton, but I'm like, dude, this is an easy win. You do this and it is anybody who had, like all the people who haven't played it, it's not like you're not going to like their commentary. And it's anyone who has, it is going to be such a amazing like feeling of nostalgia that it would be such an easy victory that I don't know why they don't do it, because I would be so game for that.
Yeah, the franchise, even into the college ones, just like had the broadcasting, the presentation, like all that stuff was completely down pat. And then you talked about the improvements in graphics, all the batting stances, like all the pitcher deliveries and stuff like that. It was just, and like I'm sure I kid who's 15 now, if we showed them an MVP baseball clip, we'd be like, oh man, this fucking sucks. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. It's impossible to overstate how good the fact that in MVP 05, guys pimped home runs. Like, there were celebrations like that. It was legitimately groundbreaking.
It really, and it was even like, I remember the first time you hit a ball to the warning track and you weren't sure it was going to go out, and the broadcasters weren't like hinting that it was going to, you played Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. The second you hit a home, like the ball was going out, you knew it the second you hit it, there would be this actual simulated moment of, did I just hit a home run, or is this like, are they like, what's going to happen? And it was just, it was the first time, like now MLB The Show is so realistic. It was the first time games were really close to what you were watching on TV. And it was just a game changer. It really was.
Yeah. And it also, the owner mode, bringing that in 05 was so interesting, because it was the first thing, like, it seems like such a given now, because with MLB The Show, you can do, and I love how deep MLB The Show's franchise is. I mean, you're doing everything from September call-ups to, you know, the Rule 5 draft and stuff like that. But it was so groundbreaking with MVP baseball. You hadn't been able to build a stadium before, which you're still not really doing that with MLB The Show. Like, you can't relocate or anything like that. Like, you're not building your own stadium. Now, the owner mode, building the stadium in MVP 05, I would have done some fixes. I would have changed some things up, where you're not playing in like a cornfield with those seats when you first started. Yeah. But like that was completely, we had never done that before. And I think for guys like you and me, it sounds like guys who would later in life do a lot of baseball reference deep dives, probably read a lot of Baseball America and prospect stuff and things like that. Like, being able to control every aspect of a franchise, your minor leaguers, do a draft, like MVP baseball franchise mode had a draft, which was insane.
I can't even put a number on how many hours I spent just in that fantasy draft lobby. And it was just because you would start one, you do it, you would run it out as long as you wanted to, and then it was just automatically right back into it. And it was just it was so much fun, and it was just so different from what you expected. It really was, you can't say it enough. I'm thinking about it now, and I'm like, even with, and you see it now with modern games, they're a lot really getting away from franchise mode, and Ultimate Team has really taken over and everything. Mm-hmm. And Ultimate Team is, was what, like, to the next generation, is really what franchise mode was for us, where it was, you were assembling a team in a way that you would never could before. And you know what, this just kind of hit me too, with even with the account of back then, it was like, you got MLB Tonight and you had baseball tonight, so you could watch games, but like, out-of-market games still happen now, but back then it was harder to watch games on, like, the games were, like, unless you had the baseball package, it was harder to find games that quickly. So it was how you got introduced to a lot of players you weren't seeing regularly.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be like, and we were talking about before the podcast starts, guy like Ken Harvey on the Royals. The Royals were a bad team in the early 2000s that you really didn't watch much. So if you didn't, playing the game was that first introduction of like, oh, this guy's good, or Mike Sweeney, or like someone like that. And you're like, oh, this guy's good. So then when they were back on TV, you'd watch and you'd be like, I kind of have an idea of who these guys are. And it made baseball feel a little bit like smaller. Like, you felt like you knew, it felt more attainable to know every player on every team. My buddy and I joke all the time that I probably could have named the backup catcher on every team in baseball.
Oh,
like, I could have
gone
through every roster. I was like, I could have told you every team Miguel Oliva was on from like 2000, 2006. It was crazy.
And it also, it brought those players, those guys that you didn't get to experience a lot when they weren't on the national game or like your local regional team, like their stances, their pitching motions, like stuff like that. Like the game bring that in, like every kid in the world during wiffle ball or even during Little League was like in 04 is like, I'm going to try the Albert Pujols stance.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know, stuff like that. Like the A-Rod, they had the great A-Rod stance that they put on a lot of hitters.
They did. Wait, a majority of baseball batted exactly like A-Rod did.
I remember Justin Morneau did, because I was a Twins fan. So like Justin Morneau had the A-Rod batting stance in 05 that just cracked me up. But it's just,
I always love too the standard batting stance. It's funny because MLB The Show has like 600 different stances, and it was like tall, normal, crouched, and crouched was like, you like that movie Orphan where the girl bends over backwards and she's like, her spine doesn't bend like that. That was like how half the guys stepped into the batter's
box. Crouched is an incredible athletic feat because like their legs are almost in a right angle. Like their body is completely bent in half, but their legs, their calves are straight up and like thighs are at a right angle. It's stunning. It's really stunning.
Yeah, no, their spines were just like jello. They were just like completely hung over. And it was like everyone was Rod Carew. And it was just swatting it out. It was crazy. It really was crazy.
Yeah, and it's such a shame that like, you know, and we'll touch on this in a bit, like future of EA Baseball. But it is such a shame that we didn't get to see how that would have, how they would have grown the game getting into the, you know, the older consoles. And you know, we've seen, I mean, maybe we would have not so fond memories because like Madden kind of fucking stinks now compared to
Madden.
Yeah.
Madden's, I play, and this is coming from someone who plays Madden way too much. Madden's awful now. It's not awful in the scheme of like, yeah, it's great. Like the graphics are great. It works well and all that. But my buddies and I do online franchises nonstop. And it's just, there's no improvements to it because everything goes into Ultimate Team is just such a moneymaker that every other game mode is just getting left by the wayside, especially with EA with all their games. So I say this all the time when people go, they need to bring MVP baseball back. I'm like, no. Like, don't get me wrong. MLB The Show is as good as you can get right now with any of the sports. It's the best sports game running. They're the only one that actually cares about their gamer, and they're not trying to clobber you with microtransactions. It's available, but you can easily play that game without spending money on it.
I almost exclusively just do franchise with MLB The Show, and I'm perfectly happy with that.
This is the first year I think I've been lighter on franchise, and it's purely because I've played March to October so much because it's just like a – they're taking really cool features of developing players that they never had in franchise mode before, so it's like a quicker, and you could turn it into a franchise afterwards. But I'm with you, I've started to get into Ultimate Team more, but it still doesn't, nothing. I have most fun when I'm playing franchise mode, when I'm playing March to October, when I'm doing a fantasy a few of my buddies, we do an online franchise on Madden and we just run it back, we do a fantasy draft and we run it back, and it's just there. To me, like, that is still my favorite way to play video games. It's mindless. It's fun. It's really what you love about the sports.
And it's funny because it's probably why we love MVP so much in that era of game, that era of Madden too, because before all the microtransactions and things like that, and before online play was as big as it is, it was all about that. It was, if we're going to improve the game, it's got to be in those facets. It's got to be in the gameplay, and it's got to be making franchise as deep as it possibly can be. And that's where like, that's where MLB The Show, once MVP was gone, at least MLB version of MVP was gone after 05, that's where MLB The Show really took advantage in that the graphics and like the even in like 05, 06, the visuals of what MLB The Show did, its player, it was just a little more fluid. Like it just upped the game a little bit, and then it gets into PS3 and that gameplay itself was a little smoother, but it put the investment in, these are people who have now grown up playing MVP baseball and are, you have to make franchise mode deep to keep that entertainment and to keep them buying it every single year. And I feel like The Show consistently improved franchise mode, ever added something new or added a new aspect or something like that. And I think that all stems from the fact that that MVP baseball lets you do all these roster, you know, these roster controls and control three levels of the minors and do an amateur draft and have free agency, especially once they moved away from points and they actually made it, yeah. actually made it money in MVP 05. But I mean, it all like, it is like MVP baseball is the Christ of baseball games. Like it started everything.
It really is. It's the foundation for all of this now. And it's even like, to your point, that's the type of thing where it's like, you've seen it with Madden and you even see it now with MLB The Show. And I have a feeling, just given like some of the people, I have a couple of friends that I know that stream and like are more popular and get to know a lot of the guys with San Diego Studios. And I've heard from them that you'll start to see like next year, I think they're going to start rolling out more stuff for franchise mode, because there's a pressure. I remember last year there was the hashtag fix Madden franchise, because Madden franchise has been the same since Madden 12. Like the Madden with Vince Young was the best franchise mode I played there.
Yeah. I bought Madden 22 and it was my first Madden in a few years, because I, you know, just read all the reviews and I was like, I'm about franchise mode. I think it was my first Madden since Madden 16. And yeah. I'm like, it's kind of the same. It's kind of fine. That's the same.
They literally, it felt like, and we play it every year, and it felt like they just abandoned it. And MLB The Show, to some extent, like the trade logic was kind of, you could still get Juan Soto for like Austin Hedges. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
It's still yeah. like, there's still things that they could fix, but it does feel like March to October is like how it seems like they're going to integrate all of that together. And if they do that, like what March to October has, I don't know if you played it, it's like you can even like call up a player, and then based on how that player performs in that first game you use with him, he gets attribute boosts. Like actually, like if a minor leaguer comes up and gets hot, he's hot through the rest of the season, and it feels like a real, like there's actually ebbs and flows of a season. So it's the basis for like even fans to get out there and do the hashtag fix Madden franchise or getting after San Diego Studios to fix MLB shows is from this. It's like, how many of us, we're not, Ultimate Team is Ultimate Team, but it's like, this is what we're playing, or this is why we're buying it. We're not buying it. Otherwise it's a roster update. Like you can add stuff, but this is what we're looking for.
Yeah. And think about with The Show, with hot and cold players. And now we see, you know, we can see all these factors about the player being happy and stuff, and it takes them down ratings or it makes them better yeah. and stuff like that. That started with MVP baseball. We got guys, you know, you get the inbox, you know, the message in your inbox, like, hey, this guy's not playing. He's not happy. Like he's got the frowny face.
Billy Wagner was promised a closer role and you have him in the bullpen and he's pissed. That was a real thing. And it was fun. No, I'm with you. And I know this is something we're going to get into, but it's also, I don't know if this is me or what, the soundtrack of it is really
let's talk the music. I mean, it's iconic.
It's like, and I'm even partial to the MVP 04 soundtrack, because that to me, it's, I literally have a Spotify playlist that's just the MVP 04 soundtrack.
I listen to it all the time.
I do too, and I've played it, and I sometimes will even play it while I'm playing MLB The Show, because I'm like, I get it, like it's good music, but I don't know what it was about it. It's just they really, the EA really nailed it back then.
It's like it was right in that kind of pop punk genre, like alt rock stuff that was, I mean, it was popular then. And so it's going back to that where, cause like songs that aren't in that soundtrack, but are that genre of music, like still slap. Like we played Sugar, We're Going Down at my wedding. Like that genre just kills it. Like
they'll probably play it at mine too.
Yeah, a lot of these songs, like, listen, if I could have gotten some songs from the MVP baseball soundtrack at my wedding, like, if anyone would have known them except me and, like, four dudes, probably would have done it, because, like, they're all really good, and, like, Madden always has their songs, and MLB The Show does, but it's kind of interesting that MVP really stuck to, we're doing one genre, and I can imagine that there were people who played this were like, this shit is not for me, man.
Yeah,
not for me at all. But they wrote it hard. They wrote a soundtrack all the way through MVP 07, the NCAA one. Finally, it incorporated fight songs because it was college, which I thought was a good play, but it also had a nice mix of let's throw some little alt rock on there too.
Yeah, no, it's funny because we always, my buddy and I always say, like, whenever we're like going out or we're like going, we're with a bunch of people, he goes, there's one point in the night every time where all of a sudden the music will go, everybody in the room will be like just sitting there and the music will stop for a quick second. Everybody will be like, what happened? And then my buddy will always play like Splitting Games or like Walkie Talkie Man. And
Walkie Talkie Man should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It should, and it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I'll put that sometimes on like the background of one of my TikToks, or my personal favorites always, it's My Coco was just so, it's so ridiculous, but so good. And it's like, there's, and it's always happens, but we'll play it and it'll be 90% of the room doesn't get it. But there's four guys who were like, whoa, this was,
this is the most important song I've ever heard in my life.
It's like if you lock somebody in a room and only play 12 songs, not that was just childhood, because this is like if I played this game for 60 hours a year, it was like nonstop. It was all we listened to, and I'd be like, oh my God, what is happening right now?
If you put on Honest Mistake by The Bravery, I get transported back to my childhood bedroom, and it's 2 a.m., and I'm like trying to figure out where I'm going to put Mike Redman in this Twins lineup.
It's my one friend Greg, who, you know, he's actually the person I host my podcast with. He can say, you get him in a certain mood and he will rap the entire, what's it called, by Time and Time Again by Chronic Future. It'll just start and you can hear it and I'm like, oh, is he gonna do it? And he just does the whole, and that's like new rock, that's like, it's like rap, it's that weird rap pop punk crossover, and he does the whole thing, and it's just like, it really sticks with you in a way that I don't know if I've had a game do since.
No, I haven't. Like, there are songs, like, well, my wife and I will hear a song, and every now and then, even she, because she's watched me play MLB The Show so much, or just like been forced to like sit on the couch and read while I play, and she'll be like, this song was on MLB The Show, but it's a different of when it's a song from MVP Baseball. Like, listen, you're never going to hear Walkie Talkie Man on the radio, but like, no. Hey Driver, I've heard before, and other scenarios, and I'm just like, fuck, this slaps. Like, it's just so good. The music was so important, especially because, again, the aspect of the game, they put so much into franchise, and then so much in like the mini games, which we haven't talked about, which you could just play for hours, just doing the hitting mini game under the ramps, but they're playing those songs too, so they're just like getting drilled into your brain even more. But like, imagine a game now putting that much effort into mini games.
It wouldn't even make sense. And you know, I've actually thought about this, of like how it probably, like, because of what we're talking about, where it was so different from what the games used to be like, that I even now when I play franchise mode, it's still, you still don't get that feeling of constant entertainment of like, I'll just play this mini game for like, there's so many things you can do in video games now that it, you get bored of things quicker. It's just natural. Even I'll play franchise mode and I'll get like, I'm bored, I don't want to play this anymore. And it was just, there was such a difference there that it was like, I'll just play these mini games for the next, what am I doing on a Friday night when I'm 11? I'm just gonna play mini games for the next 12 hours and see how this goes.
I've got this AAA pitcher. I'm gonna do the mini games with him to get him like an extra 1 point in control for
exactly.
Hours.
Or I mean, I think about it, like, I don't think I've ever, I don't know the last time I've played every game of a season, and I did that regularly, as it, like, it was just 162 and the playoff games, and I was like, how did I even have the attention span, the time, the feelings?
That's where I go back to that. I think that's where the nostalgia is too, a little bit, in just the free time aspect. Cause yeah, like, I'll be playing backyard baseball with my kid and it's like, man, this game takes forever. And I would wipe out a season of backyard baseball in one day. That's like 14 nothing. Games.
It's like, you just eat all day. You know, it's funny, and it's not about video games specifically, but it's a story I always tell, because so my girlfriend, and we've been together a long time, and she is very much not into sports, like very much doesn't even get it. Not like against it, but like didn't come from a sports household, just doesn't even comprehend. I took her to we went to her first baseball game, like, was with me at like 22. And she didn't even like, I'm the first person in her life that has been like super into sports. And I tried to explain to her, I'm a big Mets fan. And I was trying to explain to her the night the Mets lost in the 2006 NLCS, I was 9-10 years old. And I sobbed like a baby, like just saw, I ripped my NL, the NL East division shirt in half. And she was like, why? And I'm like, I don't think you get, like, when you're 10, I didn't have anything going on. So 162 games, I watched 150 of them in full. Like, that was just like, I just was sitting there doing nothing. So the second they lost, it was like a part of me had died. Like, I've spent months. It was like the first heartbreak of like, no, wait, I've been every day I'm watching this for this to go nowhere. This is not fair. And it's really like a feeling that I think maybe it's because we've gotten older that you just don't get. It's is it Breakfast Club when they say there comes a point where just a part of you just dies and just, that's it.
Well, and it's the same way we would feel with these MVP baseball franchises, and you get so invested, especially like we kind of want to get into the NCAA games that they went into, but especially with, like, you know, you run a college, you know, college baseball team for 20 years and you have all these play, you know, oh man, this guy was a 4-year starter for me. Like, you spend so much time with these fictional, with these polygons and you get so invested, you know, a guy has a 10-year career for you and your Mets franchise on the show. And like, that guy's like family.
And also with the college ones, and I did this, we were talking about this earlier with the football ones, especially too, of like, you're recruiting them too. So it's like, you spent a season recruiting them. You spent 4 years playing with them. And then they even used to let you carry them over into Madden. So there was like, you could have really put some time into fake. I remember I had Lamar Eastwood and he was just a quarterback from Duke. And the guy was like Michael Vick, like speed, and just threw the ball like Brett Favre. And you were like, and I remember the fact that I'm talking about a fictional video game character from my childhood. And I remember so much. I remember his accessories and everything. And it's exactly what you're saying. I remember when he retired and it was like, oh, did a friend just die? Like, what just happened?
Dude, that's
here?
How, I mean, there's from NCAA baseball, MVP 06 NCAA baseball, there's a pitcher from one of my Virginia Tech ball clubs named Matt Sullivan. If I could have invited that fictional guy to my wedding, I would have. Like, that's how important this guy toted the ball every Friday night for 4 years. Like, it's important. You spend so much time with these guys. And like, the NCAA ones are where, because of how popular college baseball is getting now, like ESPN essentially put in squeeze play. They're essentially, it's red zone for NCAA baseball this past year, or now in the postseason. I could see there being legs for another NCAA baseball game. I don't know if they'll fund it. I don't know if there's enough legs, but it is getting more and more popular, much more than it was in 06, 07. But like, those games had a lot of the things you liked about the MLB games. They tried a lot of things, and we were talking off mic, like, they were 1 year away. If they would have gotten them onto PS3, smoothed out some of the graphic stuff, it still is pretty difficult to hit. And they did some weird stuff with the batting stances, and then they still, the mechanics of the college game were still a little funky. The scheduling stuff was funky, and then, you know, we talked about players being unhappy. The problem, if you had a pitcher, and you could have designated your closer, your setup man, you know, the guy could have thrown like 60 innings during the season. But if he was not a starter and he expected to be get playing time in the second year, he's like, fuck this, I'm leaving. I'm like, well, that's not how college works. If you throw 60 innings, like, it doesn't matter if you're a starter. But EA was really close. And like, the NCAA games, I still love, because I love college baseball, but I would love for those to get brought back.
I'm with you. I'm with you that I hope it feels like, and I don't know if it was the lockout or what, but you started to see people start to, even me, I was never a big college baseball guy. I didn't go to a D1 school. I didn't really ever like care about it. And it was like the lockout of not thinking you're going to have baseball. And then it's just these guys. And you start seeing like the intensity that you get in October baseball, you're getting in March college baseball. Cause it's really just guys fighting for their careers. And it's just, there's just this intensity that's just not, it's also like, and I'm not, and this is a conversation we have a lot of time on my podcast of like, we talk about like baseball purists. I love when there's some, like, I'm not looking for perfect, that I'm not for the shift. I'm not for that stuff. Cause I'm not looking for perfect. This is what the percentages, like, I'm not looking for that. I liked when things get wonky and it's like, oh, we got a camera. We got two cameras at ECU, and I don't really have a camera angle at what's happening in left field. And I think the left fielder just threw it to the completely wrong base. Like, you're just like, it's all over the place, and it's like, it's a little bit messed up, but it's just kind of what makes the sport fun. It's just, you can't get too mechanical. And I think that's what you get at a college baseball. You get intensity, you get excitement, And if you can channel that into sports games like they did and bring that back with like next gen, it's really, I think it's something they could really have success with.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that would honestly be the move. I think EA going up against MLB The Show would kind of be suicide. I feel like it'd be a waste of money.
Yeah.
I do feel like there's an alley to bring that back, or even like, man, if they did a remastered version of the game, I'm not even joking, I'd drop $200 on it. Because
I would too. I've said this all the time. During the beginning of the pandemic, there were sincere conversations with me and one of my best friends of, do we drop, I think it was like $100 for an Xbox 360. And at that point, NCAA 14 was getting price gouged on eBay for like $150 a pop. And it was sincere discussions of, we're adults now, we have adult money. Do we spend $250 to play one video game from 8 years ago? And it was like, maybe we do it. Cause it was like, if they remastered that, there would be no upper limit to how much I'd spend. I'd be like, yeah, I'm in.
100%. Without a doubt. I mean, if I, like Genie with the magic lamp, like Three Witches, it's like, okay, remaster NCAA baseball, at least for the next gen system, figure out recruiting, because recruiting in that game was kind of, they hadn't figured that out. It wasn't even up to what they were doing at the NCAA football game at the time. And then like some visual stuff, you know, give the first baseman first base mitts. Stuff like that. Like I ironed some stuff out like that, but they really almost had it. They made so many from 06 to 07. I had both. They made so many improvements. Like in the 06 game, they had like the scheduling was like, they would play a three game non-conference series from Tuesday to Thursday. And then of the weekend conference series, Friday to Sunday. And it's like, well, that's not how this works. These kids are in college. They play a Tuesday game sometimes, and then they play their weekend series and stuff like that. And then stuff with like players and playing time and things like that. But they made improvements on that in 07. I'm sure it just came down to like finances of why they didn't do an 08 and why they didn't bring it to another system. But like they were really close. They got the fight songs. They had, you know, I think they had like 20-25 ballparks, which was cool. Like I think that's where the opportunity is. If we ever get these games back in our life, I do think it would be NCAA baseball. I mean, and ESPN is putting a ton of weight into college baseball now.
They are.
You never know.
You never do. I hope it happens, because just college, it would be the best thing for like the sport. It's like we were talking about before of like baseball at that point was so much more, it felt more popular than it is now. And that's how you really start building fans. You build lifelong fans through guys of, oh, I saw this guy, or like, what's his name? I'm blanking on the guy from NC State who's transferring right now.
Tommy Tanks.
Tommy Tanks. I know, I'm like, we have the same first name, but I'm going to mess up his last name. Even him, that guy makes it to the show in 4 years, 4 or 5 years. There's going to be, it's just a different, it's exactly, it's pretty much the same conversation we keep having of, there's just a, you feel an attachment to guys that you don't have, that you wouldn't have had before. So college baseball really, if ESPN could really get it to a point where it's popular, it really helps the sport. And that's all baseball. I'm a big football guy, I'm a big basketball guy. Like I'm into all these sports, but baseball has been my first thing all my whole life. So it's like, that is what I would love nothing more than, because it just, you need, I'm not a big believer in that baseball's dead and baseball's boring. It's not that. It's, I think we've had a lot, there's just been a lot of small changes that have kind of made baseball less marketable that are really easy to fix. Like really not, it's not a stretch. Kids aren't like going to be bored by the sport. It's still super exciting. And I still stand that like going to hockey games are super fun. Basketball games are fun, but like there's no better experience than going to a baseball game. It's
the
just the most fun in-person experience. You're just hanging out with your buddies, whoever you came with. And then there's just a sporting event happening. And it's just perfect. It's really the perfect balance.
It's the absolute best. I mean, and I'll wrap them the same way. Like I love all sports. Baseball was like my first love, but I can definitively say that the MVP baseball franchise made me a bigger baseball fan, without a doubt.
I always point to, it's MVP baseball, the 04 Red Sox coming back, because I mean, I was also a petty Yankee hater back then. So it was like, oh my God, this team that's built to hate the Yankees is like making this huge comeback. And
And then we had Tessie on MVP 05.
Tessie to me. So I have it in the other room. I should have grabbed it. I also was like, I have an irrational love for Fever Pitch.
Just brother, like, you like that movie is the shit. Like that movie
I says all the time. people like sit there and tell me it's, you know, actually everybody tells me it's bad and I'm like, watch it. And nobody ever leaves it being like, I hated it. And I'm, so I have it and I got it on eBay like a couple, like a year ago for like 12 bucks. You remember when you used to go on a Blockbuster, when a DVD would come out, they would put up like the stand, like the bookcase that had like the DVD slots in it. So when Fever Pitch came out, they had like the Fever Pitch style one. It's on eBay, someone's selling it. And I'm like, what? Yeah, buy.
Oh my God, I need to get something like that for my office.
So it came and the shelves weren't part of it. The people, and like I messaged words in my head, the shelves didn't come. And the guy literally responded to me like, buddy, what do you want from me? Like, I don't know what you, and I'm like, fair. But I got the upper part and in my bedroom, like above where my mirror was, I put it because I just thought it was hilarious. And now every time someone comes in, they're like, this is the funniest, but also the weirdest, wildest thing I've ever seen. I have, it's literally a huge, it's the DVD cover, but it's like the 3D where the TV's popping out and Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon's face that are above it. And it's like Fever Pitch out in stores now. And it's the whole thing. And it's my favorite possession of all time.
I'm truly jealous because I would love that.
I'll pull it out before it.
Pretty sure if I walked into my house with that, my wife would send me back out. But that is, man, I know you got to run. Tommy, this has been great. Tell the folks again where they can follow you.
Yeah, at Random MLB Stars on Instagram and TikTok, and at Miyamo Tommy on Twitter. You can follow at Random MLB Stars on Twitter, but it'll just refer you to retweets of at Miyamo Tommy because that's where I'm really mostly tweeting from. But yeah, if you want a guy who's talking about baseball and like a weird amount of rom-coms, that's the account to follow.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you back on for rom-com. We do rom-coms on this show.
I'm not ashamed. My girlfriend's super into horror movies and I'm super into rom-coms just because I just think they're hilarious. And we're like, it's like a role reversal where I'll be like, she's like, is this too scary for you? And I'm like, no. And then I'll be like, is this too sappy? And she's like, no, it's like a complete role reversal.
We did Rom-Com Month in February. We're going to be bringing those back soon. So we'll have to do something like that. If you enjoyed this episode of Big Screen Sports, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate and leave a review if you're on Apple Podcasts. New episodes every Monday. We'll be back next Monday with another movie. I don't know what yet. If you want to know, head over to the Patreon. Support on Patreon, patreon.com/bigscreensports. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.